Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Russ Terry, founder and CEO of Life Coach Radio Networks. Today's sponsor is Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free audiobook when you sign up for a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. That's audibletrial.com/lifecoachradio. And now, here's today's show.
Hello to our great listeners out there, and welcome to Life Coach Radio Network. I'm your host of Influential Connections with Amina Hidayat Khalil. My guest today is Hisham Abu Maria, who is a Meta NLP neurosemantics trainer, a Meta coach, and a self-actualization psychology practitioner. Hello, Hisham. How are you?
Hi, Amina. How are you?
Great. Well, Hisham today will take us through an enlightening adventure about his work. And I'm very excited because his work is really, really influential. And specifically in today's episode is The Power of Wow. I'm sure everyone is excited about the wow part.
But he's wowed already.
Yes, I'm wowed. I hope they are wowed too. So it's a great opportunity to have you here today, Hisham, with us in the U.S. And I really like to thank you for giving us from your time and to learn from you and to introduce you to all our friends out there. I'm sure that, you know, like our listeners and I, we're going to be talking with you three times. You know, like we developed a three series episodes. Today is The Power of Wow. Next time is going to be The Power of How. And of course, you're going to guide us through that. And the third one is going to be The Re-envisioning of the American Dream. So please, our listeners, put your seatbelt on, and we're going on an amazing ride here. Okay. So just briefly, for those who don't know me out there, my name is Amina. I'm an interpersonal and intrapersonal intelligence consultant. I'm an author, a speaker, and a certified professional coach. And as you can tell, a radio talk show host in the time being. Okay, you can read more about me and the work I do and my background at my website. It's www.aminahidayat.com, and it's AminaHedayat. And you can reach me by email at amina@aminahidayat.com or via the social media links on my website and my phone number, 517-507-0550. So welcome, Hisham Abu Maria, and I'm so glad that you're finally here with us, and I'll give you the mic to introduce yourself and, you know, talk about yourself to our listeners to get to know you.
Thank you, Amina. It's really a great opportunity and a privilege for me to be joining you today. So thank you a lot for this opportunity, and thank you for our listeners for joining us today. My name is Hisham Abu Maria. I consider myself one of the leading trailblazers of what's called the Second Human Potential Movement. In the last 10 years, I've utilized my primary practice of neurosemantics, NLP, applied cognitive behavioral methods, among other know-how sciences related to consciousness and behavioral change, to help hundreds create, on an individual level, more personal freedom, meaningfulness, joy, and enhanced life performance. On the level of organizations and government agencies, I've helped them create more humane personal team and group dynamics, the type of group dynamics that take into consideration individual and collective well-being so that personal and group goals are achieved. Basically, what I do is I help people and help organizations to answer some questions. Some of these questions would be, like how to find a person's or a human's authentic, unconditioned self so that they experience more inner peace. How to close the knowing-doing gap so that the person lives with more congruence and serenity. How to synergize high meanings with best life performances to always have the sustainable base for motivation and vitality. For organizations, I also help them explore such questions like how to create flatter structures of leadership, where followership and leadership empowerment and responsibility, how to build more meaningful and humane teams and organizations to promote higher loyalty and enhance performance, and among other things. But my primary focus at this point is the project I'm working on in re-envisioning the American dream.
Oh, wonderful. This is very impressive work that you've done, Yashem, and I hope that we will be able to benefit from you being here and the trainings that you're going to be giving probably in the Los Angeles area and hopefully around the United States as well. I'd like to, again, mention to our listeners that they, you know, to feel free to call us with your questions and to give us your valuable comments. The number to call is 646, that's the area code, 716-9397. That's for the U.S. and Canada. If you're from outside and you're able, outside the U.S. and Canada, and you're able to call and have an international access, that would be really great. If not, you feel free to write your comments below. There's a chat box section there in the bottom of the page. So let us delve in and dive right into the topic here, Hisham. From what I've read and heard about you and your work, you seem to have a strong passion and emphasis on words like humanness, freedom from conditioning, like what you mentioned right now in your introduction. And you also talk about the second human potential movement. So what is the story behind all of this?
Okay, so there is a story behind it, and it's kind of my life story, or related to my life story. Well, I was a student just like any other person, and during school time, I wasn't considered by the educational system as the most bright of students, as the best of students, and I had my own way of thinking, I had my own way of understanding things that didn't really go into the flow of the educational system, and this caused me quite a few problems growing up, as far as how I was choosing to express my behavior and the sense of frustration and rebellion against the system that just won't accept me or won't acknowledge my way of being, my way of thinking. And so this took me through life, through a lot of different directions that weren't always useful. And at one point, I decided to drop everything, to drop the past, to drop what happened, and become a teacher. Now, when I started teaching, it seemed that many of the behavior problems of students and children are not caused by what the majority of teachers think, that this student is a bad student or is bad behaved or not well behaved and so on, but it was really a lack of acknowledgement for the child, for the way he is, for the way he thinks. And so in my classroom, I started changing the way I deal with children. I just acknowledged and accepted them as they are, with all their tendencies, with all their motivations, with all their moving and jumping and hopping around. And amazingly, so I stopped labeling them, basically. I stopped judging them. And the amazing thing is that in a very, very short period of time, their grades went up. In my class specifically, their behaviors became better. They started dealing with each other in a better way, no fighting, no bullying, and so on. So it seemed that the acknowledgement and the validation of the child's way of being and way of thinking really brought tremendous and great effects. And so this took me into studying more and practicing more behavioral sciences, starting with neurolinguistic programming and then moving to neurosemantics, and on and on from my study, research, practice, and experience, it seems that there's this awesome, great human potential in every single human being that has been shadowed, that has been not fully expressed, And it seems that this is the cause of such things like depression, anxiety, sadness, and so on. And so being there, because I've been there at one point of my life, I took it upon myself to tread into this new human potential movement that just focuses most on the authenticity of each and every person, the way he is, the special way that he functions, whether mentally or physically or emotionally, in order to have more peaceful people, more serene people, more self-fulfilled people, apart from the happiness industry that's being sold to the majority of us public through the media.
Wow, that's really amazing. And, you know, it's really a great life experience that you go through certain things and events to, again, to shift the direction and to realize, you know, like where your goals are and how to fulfill those goals and, you know, and fulfill life purpose. And, you know, it seems that what you've went through, it took you to where you are right now and to help a lot of people realize, you know, their, you know, become self-actualized and you regain their, you know, unconditioned self again.
Yeah.
So what is the focus exactly of the Human Potential Movement, Hisham?
Well, the focus of the Human Potential Movement, as it's presented today in the field of neurosemantics and self-actualization psychology, is most basically being and doing. Maslow had this quote. He said, "A musician must make music, an artist must paint, a poet must write. What a man can be, he must be, if he is to be ultimately at peace with himself." And so this doesn't really apply to only to art and poetry, but to economy. So an economist must be an economist, an accountant, someone with a passion for numbers and accounting should be an accountant, a scientist, a driver, and so on. So Maslow's idea really presupposes that each human has this innate design to excel at a certain area, at a passion, to be his or her best, and that we already have all of the resources and capabilities to do so, and then the challenge becomes, or the point becomes, how do we get there, or how do we find that? Now, from my life story and the study of neurosemantics and cognitive behavioral sciences, it does seem so that this innate potential has always been there. Yet, what happens is it gets shadowed. So we are born with this potential. We are born to express it, but it gets shadowed by conformity, by the educational system, by conditioning of society, meaning that we are programmed and driven to take up certain roles and personas predictated by society, its values, what it deems good, valuable, joy-bringing, and so on. And it's those very roles and personas that we buy into which shadow our authentic self. They are specifically sold to us through the media and through education. And the problem is that these personas, with although they say, okay, do this and you'll be happy, buy this and you'll be fine, adapt this lifestyle and you'll be good, choose this brand and you'll be better, and so on. But actually, this very pursuit of these things becomes the root cause of suffering, of stress, fatigue, lack of meaningfulness in life, lack of zest, lack of fulfillment in life. And I mean, it's more than apparent that this is what our current lifestyle is bringing us to. Einstein once said a very, very simple quote and very, very nice metaphor. He basically says, if you judge a fish by its ability to climb walls, it will spend the rest of its life thinking it's stupid. And
wow.
So, yes. So basically, that's what it comes down to, is that some of us are born fish, or something else other than fish, metaphorically speaking, and then we spend a lifetime being driven to climb walls, and it just doesn't work. And it breeds nothing but more suffering and more going against ourselves. And so the focus of the Human Potential Movement, or the focus of neurosemantics, is basically the know-how or the how of accessing this authentic self within each being, within each human being, and accessing their own resources and capabilities and direction in life based on this authentic self, based on this unconditioned self, based on the self that is ready and vital to self-express itself in whatever way that it deems best.
Wow, this is such a deep issue here, because you can see a lot of people who are struggling always to do something or be somebody, and it does not really resonate much with their DNA, and it's only because that other people are telling them to do this or do that or become this or become that.
Yeah.
And we see a lot of that in many cultures, you know, like even from cultures, you know, that you know, like Eastern cultures, or, you know, like even Middle Eastern cultures or Western cultures, where, again, the quote-unquote, you know, like the human should be in a certain way or act in a certain way. Or, yeah, there are, of course, you know, etiquettes and rules and, you know, not rules, but, you know, like what you call the values, you know, that we live by and so on.
Yeah.
That are dictated by the culture and are dictated by the society around us. But sometimes, again, the human loses himself, you know. So it's really very interesting what you're talking about here, and how this human potential movement would be progressing, you know, even in the near future.
Yeah.
And a lot of people would be catching up with it. Please go ahead. You were going to say something.
Yes. I was going to say something. Really, I'm agreeing and acknowledging what you're doing, because it's really this human potential movement is way beyond mere self-improvement or self-transformation. I mean, it's mm-hmm. a movement that encompasses society, it encompasses economics, we're talking about government and politics and so on. Not saying that these are fields that we actually go into, but these are fields that could highly, highly, highly benefit from the approach of, or from the humanistic approach, or from the approach of the human potential movement and neurosemantics, because we're not promoting authenticity in a rebellious way. On the contrary, we are promoting authenticity for more highly synergized societies. Mm-hmm. Like the original idea of Ruth Benedict, one of Abraham Maslow's mentors. Highly synergistic societies are societies that take into consideration individual authenticity as well as the well-being of the whole, without conflict between these two.
And that is very important. And that's very important, because when every single person starts with themselves, you can see that the effect will resonate, like it's a ripple effect. And
society.
It will grow and grow and grow, and it affects the society and the culture. And you can imagine, you know, if every human being is living up to their potential, what kind of a society we'd be living in.
Yeah, yeah. Well. Funny enough, that was the original idea behind the American Dream. The thing is that it did not turn out that way. But initially, it was about individuals living to their full potential and expressing themselves in a way that promotes their well-being as well as the well-being of society.
Yes, and that's going to be our third episode together, right? You're going to be talking about the re-envisioning of the American Dream and the program that you're putting together to promote here as well. Wonderful. That is really great. Well, let me ask you a question, okay, away from the human potential movement, okay?
Uh-huh.
Something a little bit personal about you, because it's
oops,
a pressing question, and it really, you know, like sparked my curiosity.
Okay.
Your name.
Oh, my name?
Your name, Hisham Abu Maria. I know that Abu Maria, you know,
yeah.
is is not your last name.
No.
So would you explain to our listeners, you know, and to me, because I'm curious to know as well, why did you choose Abu Maria to be your brand name, or that's the name that you're known with?
Okay, well, to start with, Maria is my 7-year-old girl.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah. And
beautiful.
Yeah, and then you know, her birth was to me was a blessing, and it was a very, very valuable thing. And it's been known in the Middle East or in Egypt that that men are known by the names of their children. So you'll find Abu Muhammad, for example, or Abu Ahmad, or and so it's always or mostly always the boy's name that's mentioned. So I wanted to do something different. I want to use my my girl's name out of honor for her, as well as me taking it as a good omen, a good sign, a good name to abide by, among other things that have to do with changing certain concepts in the cultures that we live in, basically.
I admire that very, very much, you know, like giving back the female in our lives the honor and respect that she deserves.
Definitely.
You know, like being also, you know, like I was born in Egypt as well, and even some of my friends in the Middle East, when they had children, the first is a girl and then the boy comes, and then she would be called by her son's name.
Yeah.
And I would ask her, you know, what about the girl, you know, like she's your first.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's just the culture again, and that's part of the culture that dictates to us what to do and how to act, and even how to express our, you know, our being in the society by names that it might not really, you know. Yeah, I admire that so much, that you're, you know, honoring your daughter and honoring her name, and, you know, she will be a great omen for you.
Yes.
And Maria is, of course, you know, like it's a beautiful name of the mother of Jesus. Yeah. So and it's
actually it does have the word Maria, or the name Maria, has a meaning in the Arabic language, which will probably relate back to Jesus' mother, because that it actually means two things. One thing, it means the fair lady.
Mm-hmm.
So this is basically what we see from the different pictures and churches and so on, that Virgin Mary was a fair lady, she is fair skinned, meaning, and
yes.
And another meaning for the word Maria is kitten, or soft kitten. Yeah.
Oh, that's the first time I hear that. Wow,
yes.
That's really, really cute. Very nice. Very nice. I like that. Okay. So going back to our topic and focusing on the human potential movement, well, from what you said, you know, and what we talked about earlier, you mentioned, you know, like how can the person access or make use of his authentic or unconditioned self? You know, like going back to the core, going back to the authentic self.
Uh-huh.
How can that be done?
First thing is a basic understanding that this authentic self, or this innate self, is not it's not a destination in itself. It's not an achievement. It's not something that we want to achieve, but it's an ongoing process. So one of the biggest myths about that have been said about self-actualization and self-actualization psychology is that self-actualization is something that you achieve in life. Some big idea that you apply, some big company that you start, some big movement that you do, and it's far from being like that. Self-actualization is not about that. Self-actualization is a process, and it's an ongoing thing. It's an everyday thing. It has to do with being able to experience much more in life, in the very, very simple things in life and the more complicated ones. And so it's been the concern of the human potential movement, or the second human potential movement, and neurosemantics and self actualization psychology is to f- find tools and to find ways in order for a person to go to be able to access their authentic self or to be their authentic selves. And then from there, from finding and accessing the authentic self, comes the other phase or the other stage of finding the right resources or building up the capabilities to express this self in the most proper of ways. So, for example, someone may have a great idea. Let's take an example of a regular employee, okay, that goes to work 9 to 5 every day, and he has this great ideas, these great ideas that he would love to see in the world, in the real world. And the conflict or the challenge at this point becomes is that the person feels alienated, for example, with his ideas. Is unable to take the step and declare that he has something new and he wants to do it. He may lack the resources. He may lack resources, internal resources. I mean, he may lack the capabilities to make this dream of his or this imagination of him true. So he has the stuff. He has what's supposed to be done, but he could lack something like business skills. Or communication skills or something else. So using neurosemantics and self-actualization psychology, we help the person to get over all of the inside psychological barriers that are stopping him from taking the step and actualizing what he wants or actualizing his dreams. And then we use other methods and practices in self-actualization psychology so that the person is able to access the resources or access or build up the resources and capabilities to make true his dream or to make true what he wants to achieve. And so the way that we do this in self-actualization psychology and neurosemantics is by means of psychological patterns as well as our meta-coaching system, which is actually based on the original works of the human potential movement of people like Abraham Maslow, Carl Rogers, Virginia Satir. And so they came with the great ideas of the human potential movement. And the great ideas and language of the human potential movement are more than evident in even some of today's what has been called the new age schools or directions or disciplines. And but what the human potential did not continue to is how can we take these theories about human potential. How can we take these theories about the infallible belief in human capabilities and turn it into a model, into a pattern, into a tool that the everyday Joe can just take and apply to self or have it applied to him or her through a coach and achieve this accessing of the authentic self and achieve this accessing of personal capabilities and resources by which they can make real everything that they have potential and latent within them.
That is wonderful. Can you explain also a little bit about self-actualization? You know, from the stuff that some material that I was reading about the different potentials, you know, of the human and what self-actualization can bring out. Can you explain? You know, I think there were like how many potentials, like unleashing certain.
Yeah.
The Seek and the Peak series.
Yes. Seeking the Peak series. So it's seeking the peak of human experience.
Absolutely. Yeah. Can you explain to our listeners a little bit about the different, the different categories of that?
Sure. We'll explore this specific topic more in The Power of How. I will give like an initial idea of how this happens. If we take a look at a child, okay, children.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so looking at all children, anywhere in the world, they seem to have certain abilities and capabilities and potentials that are not present in adults.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so okay. which means that we are already, or human beings are already born with this potential in them. We are born curious and mm-hmm. always wanting to learn more and always passionate about learning more and doing more. But somehow this curiosity during our life journey gets taken away. We are born resilient. Every child is born resilient. And it's more than evident in this, in their learning to walk. So how many times does a child walk fall before they start walking?
Oh, hundreds.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. Yet they always have this potential. They always have this ability to, you know, knock off and just take off the dust, the dirt, whatever, and then jump back and try again. Whether it's walking, whether it's riding bicycles, they have this ability, which is not present in older in adults. Or so us as adults, when we face something in life, when we face a setback, most of us will linger in the setback for sometimes for years. Most of us will linger because of will be set back because of a failure, because of a mistake. But children do not have that.
Mm-hmm.
They're always able to get up again and do whatever they have to do. They're always able to find joy and fascination in everything that they do. They're always enjoying every moment, no matter how still. If they don't have toys, they'll make a toy. And so this is the type of healthy psychology that the Human Potential Movement first started paying attention to. And so, again, all of this healthy psychology is already built in there. It's already there. And it gets shadowed. And so what we do is we uncover or we get back what is originally there so that the person self-actualizes. And this shows in one of Maslow's quotes is that a self-actualizing human being is not an ordinary man with anything added, but an ordinary man with nothing taken away.
Mm. Wow. That is beautiful. That it really shows how beautiful the human being is with all the things that he was born with, that he was given, and
yeah.
it was taken away from him. Wow.
Definitely. Definitely. And
beautiful.
So this is what we do, or this is what our models and patterns, methods and tools seek to achieve. Is number one, resetting. You know, it's like this option they have on phones where you put it back to the factory settings.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a reformatting. And so neurosemantics is or the self-actualization psychology is more of reformatting or resetting the original functions and ways and mechanisms of the human being that would allow him to live a full life, to live vibrant, and then the type of other psychological mechanisms that beget such states as resilience, you know, being able to adapt to a life situation and improvise and move on without being held back. These two components or these are two parts of what we call the self-actualization psychology or neurosemantics. Resetting, getting back what we already have, and then finding the psychological adaptability and flexibility to move on from whatever life has to bring to us.
Very nice. When are you having your next training? Sign me up, you know.
It will be soon. It will be in about 2 months.
Wonderful, wonderful. So please let us know about when the trainings are going to start and how people are going to sign up for it.
Definitely.
So we will be able to announce that.
Definitely will.
I'd like to remind our listeners, you know, so please, you know, feel free to contact us.
And the number to call in the United States and Canada is 646-716-9397. If you're outside the United States and don't have international access, so please call, you know, and or no, sorry, feel free to write your comments in the chat section below. So please join us there as well. And I'm sure that, you know, Hisham would be more than happy to answer your questions and to take any comments that you would like to share with us. Okay, so going back to our topic here, with everything that you, you know, you told us today, Hisham, about this, the, you know, the human potential movement and so on. And with our title having to say that, you know, it's the power of wow.
Yeah.
How does all of that, you know, get together? You know, how does it have, what does it have to do with the power of wow?
The power of wow. Well, there's a story behind this too.
Okay. I'm here all ears. Please.
So, yeah, the power of wow. So basically, Abraham Maslow had worked on a research on abnormal psychology. And when he worked on abnormal psychology, the question about normality came up.
Hmm.
So the focus of all of the other psychological disciplines has been what's wrong with people, what's not functioning well, how do people get neurotic or psychotic, and so on. And what Maslow did not find was any literature talking about normal, healthy, psychologically healthy human beings. And so he started more of his own personal endeavor, or we could call it a hobby, because it did actually, the humanistic psychology movement actually started as a hobby. So he took it upon himself to kind of explore this question of normality. Now, he was at a party one night, a party made by two of his mentors, Ruth Benedict and Max Wertheimer. And one thing he noticed about Max, who was, you know, a professor and international teacher and so on, is that as he moved around and talked to people, he constantly used the word wow. As highly educated and intellectual that this man was, Maslow said he had this childlike fascination with everything around him. So somebody would come and talk to him about something, whether simple or not simple, and he'd just go, wow, you know, he'll be fascinated with him. And so this brought, this came to Maslow's attention, is that self-actualizing people, or people with a more healthy psychology, have this natural childlike fascination. And so this is really one of the aims of self-actualization psychology and the human potential movement, is to have wow human beings walking around. people who are fascinated with the things they do, passionately fascinated with their relationships, with their work, with their hobbies, with their connections with others, with their contributions to society and to community and so on. So that we're stepping out of one of the major and worst ways of being of modern society, which is this mechanical, robotic type of life. Where the idea of fun, the idea of happiness, or the idea of joy itself is considered an extra. And so people will work all day in a very unhealthy and psychological environment, and they'll endure stress, and they'll endure fatigue, and they'll endure all of that, just so that at the weekend they can, you know, have some fun. Just so that every year they're able to go and escape on a vacation. And so the point of wow here, or the power of wow, is being able to go through everyday life being fascinated, being wowed. one of the very very alarming experiences that I had was with one of the biggest multinationals, basically worldwide. And as I was training their employees, 20 of their employees, I found out something very, very strange, that each and every one of them, their dream in life, their dream of fulfillment was after retirement. Which means that they see this life that they're living, their work that they're doing, although they like their work, but they see it as a big burden to be over in about 40 years. So they'll be enduring 40 years of this of this tiredness of work, of this boredom, of all of the stress they have to endure. And of course, they'll handle this with different ways of escaping it, different ways of being medicated just to go through those 40 years till retirement, where, okay, now they can do something they actually want to do.
And this is absolutely one of the things that I keep on, you know, like living here for such a long time and seeing that's how people look at it, and you know, thinking about, okay, but how's now, you know, like how are we going to enjoy life now if we are just working all the time, and if we're not going to consciously make the time to enjoy it and not live this mechanical life, you know, as you stated, just mechanical and just keep going and going, how are people going to really enjoy and feel the joy and feel the peace and satisfaction, which again, it's, you know, it's all related, going back again to the unconditioned self, you know, that you were talking about. What I love also, what you mentioned here, Hisham, was the concept of the power of wow comes, excuse me, you know, like it's a childlike fascination.
Yeah.
This has such deep meanings to it when you think about childlike fascination. How can an adult that is, you know, like 40, 50, 60 years, 70, you know, or 100 even years old, how can they feel that childlike fascination all their life, you know, with everything? And what the thing that resonated with what you said, because I work mostly also with, you know, like building relationships and so on, how can that fascination even be in a relationship, even between a husband and wife, between two friends?
Yes.
How this wow, you know, like this childlike fascination come out during, you know, like those times or within those kind of relationships. Have you done any work towards that as well, or, you know, with relationships and so on?
I did some work with relationships. It's not my it's not my thing really, but but yeah, I like to step out of this specific space. But but yes, this fascination is a possibility for couples, of course, because at the end of the day, if we look at the structure of any relationship, so what influences the relationship? So again, it's our perspectives of myself and the other. It's mm-hmm. it's certain beliefs that again have been programmed through education or society. It's certain lifestyles and dreams that many people maybe see in movies and shows and so on. And so the lens by which people look at relationships and this experience of partnership or love or however we may call it is the cause of some of the very, very toxic results of relationships.
Absolutely.
So the problem again is strictly number one, psychological, based in psychology, and then number two, based in communication and how we communicate with each other, the different beliefs that we have about even communication or about self or about the other person and so on. And so through through the models of neurosemantics, through our meta coaching system, we are able to help couples number one get in touch with their own self, and have their own emotional and mental freedom as a human being, away from the obsessive and possessive need to get a certain emotional effect from another person, or get a certain mental effect from another person. So essentially, the partner or the person has to be free from this emotional dependency on another, from this mental dependency on another. And paradoxically, what happens at this point is, as we are freed, as the person is freed from emotional dependency and from mental dependency, much, much more of his self is available for the other, because there's no possessive need, there's no obsessive need. Love can flow much more freely in this way, and so by building the person himself or herself first, we then move to the phase or the area of communication. So how are we communicating? Is there a clear message? Are there clear messages being stated? Are we open? Do we explore things together? No matter, do we accept one another? Do we accept each other's fears, anxieties? Do we accept each other's tendencies to sometimes be angry, and kind of approach such experiences from a more explorative frame of mind rather than a judgmental frame of mind? And so by doing this, yes, relationships can flourish and benefit. And again, the same concept that we're talking about in the beginning is that such relationships, they become nourishing for the person as an individual, and then for the couple and their relationship.
This is huge, yes. This is huge, Hisham, because one of the things that, you know, like my first niche when I started working as a coach, mainly was to work with engaged couples. And what you have said right now, and what, you know, like I was always talking about, okay, know yourself first and then get to know each other better and so on. But you're taking it steps deeper into, you know, like with the self-actualization and the human potential movement and so on. This is giving it a deeper dimension for the relationship and how can they build it. And one of my aspirations is that really to take this whole thing as a movement, as a preventive movement for, you know, like for divorce and so on, but at the same time, you know, combining it with the self-actualization and so on, it's going to be huge in relationships, and hopefully we will not see people getting divorced as much as we are seeing now in the society, and all of the ripple effects of bad relationships or unsuccessful relationships. So it all builds up also on what you've said from the very beginning. If we can imagine, the how it started, you know, the human potential movement, if we can imagine what kind of a society we would live in if that was really applied and everyone really stepped forward and took the responsibility to learn all of those tools and all of those things that you train people to do so that they would get back to their original authentic self.
Yeah. And the wonderful thing about our field or neurosemantics and self-actualization psychology, it's not complicated to apply. It is complicated in within the system itself, the structure of the system. Yes, it is complicated, but the way that's presented and the way that is used is very, very easy to use for any person, because we try to use the very mechanisms of the mind-body system in order to influence it into a different direction. So our mind-body system uses uses itself, uses what it calls reality, beliefs, understandings, concepts in order to behave in a certain way. And so we use the same mechanism, we use the same mind-body system and the way that it does things to make it do something different.
Very good, very good. It's beautiful. It's really, now I'm in a childlike fascination, you know, wow.
Yeah, wow. So, yeah, it works, I'm telling you.
It works, yes. Okay, well, we are approaching the final minutes from, you know, in our program, and hopefully with people listening to the recorded episode, many questions would come up and they will be able to contact you for that. And but I want to see, because we have the next couple of episodes coming up, and I want to see what would you like to say about the next program, which would be The Power of How. And by the way, it's going to be scheduled on Friday, next Friday, like today, July 17th at 5 p.m., same time. And same place, of course, you know, same place here in Life Coach Radio Network.
Yes.
Okay, so what would you like to say about the next program?
Okay, well, the next program basically will explore the different phases that that contribute to a self-actualized human being. The different phases or the different steps of the process of living a self-actualizing life. I try to stay away from saying this word for a person to become self-actualized, as when I say self-actualized, it seems that this is an end in itself, but it's more of the process of living a self-actualizing life, so that a person can fully enjoy and remain fascinated with everything that he or she does, whether on a personal, professional, or partnership, community level, or whatever else.
Yes, and keep growing as life goes on.
Precisely, yes.
Yes, yeah. So, okay, for this topic that we have, you know, uncovered today, the power of wow, do you have any final thoughts to give our listeners?
Well, the one thing I would really stress on is that this power of wow is a birthright. Mm. It's a birthright for each and every single human being living on this planet, and it's the meaning of life. It's the meaning of living. It's the meaning of this journey that we're spending here, and so me personally, I wouldn't give up this wow for anything else. I wouldn't give up this wow for a role. I wouldn't give up this wow for a certain status or way of being in society, because at the end of the day, what we have from life is nothing but our life experience.
Yes.
And so if this life experience is not wow, then what's the point of persisting?
Hmm. Very good.
This again, this answers some questions about the state a lot of our youth and children are getting to now. The depression, the anxiety, the suicide rates. Why is this happening now? Even though technologically we're advanced, we have all of these things we can use and live by, and so on. Yet something is missing. Meaning is missing. Wow is not there. And therefore, if the wow is not there, no matter what, if it's money, if it's power, if it's pleasure, if it's whatever else, it would never take the place of this original software, if I may say, this original wow software that is a birthright for each and every one of us.
That is absolutely true. And what you said is really, you know, like one of the major issues that a lot of people are seeking, you know, depression medication and all kinds of things to try to help them get out of those situations. And as you said, everything is becoming much easier and more accessible. So why is this dip in the human psychology? that happened.
Yeah.
So that's, I hope with, you know, with all the information that we're learning from you, with the training that you're going to be giving, and also from, you know, like we, to have more episodes together and help more people as we spread the word about your work and the training that you give that people would benefit from.
Yeah, I hope today's episode was beneficial for the listeners. They got something out of it that they can change the way that they see things, at least temporarily for now.
Yeah, until our next episode. Yeah.
Until our next episode.
Yeah, no, it's very beneficial, and I'm sure that after people listen to the program, I'm sure that more questions would come up for them. And Hisham, how could people get in touch with you if they want to contact you directly? Would you please give your contact information?
Sure. I could be contacted on my personal email. It's Hisham, hesham.elmo@gmail.com. So it's Hisham. elmo@gmail.com.
Okay, and is there a phone number that you would like to put out there?
Yes, Amina, there's this new phone number.
Okay.
And, yeah, so yes, so it's the phone number is 951-350-5304.
Okay, great. So this way they can get in touch with you either by email and phone, and at the same time, as time goes on and you're much settled here, and you will be announcing the training and announcing different also venues that they can get in touch with you.
Yes. Yep, that's the goal.
That's the goal, absolutely. Hisham, I'd like to thank you so, so much for, you know, this afternoon, for being my guest and for being, you know, and for giving out such valuable information and insights about your work. And I'm sure that our listeners also are very excited and are very eager to tune in for our next show, which is going to be The Power of How, where you're going to be explaining the process. Of that. And to our listeners, I hope you have enjoyed this past hour, and I hope that you found it engaging, enlightening, and informative. Definitely, it was very informative and enlightening. If you'd like to give us your feedback, or if you want to send us your messages, please go to Life Coach Radio Network page on Facebook, like us. Of course, you have to like us, and leave us a message there, and or otherwise you can contact me directly also on my email, amina@aminahidayat.com, through the social media links on my website, www.aminahidayat.com, aminahedayat.com, or by phone, area code 517-507-0550. And of course, Hisham's contact information, he mentioned that, and it's on the dashboard also, where you see the program, and I will add the phone number that he mentioned now. Thank you so much for listening, and let's gather here again next Friday, July 17th at 5 p.m. Eastern. The third show, which is going to be the re-envisioning of the American Dream, and that's going to be on Tuesday, July 28th at 5 p.m., and all of it in the same place right here at Life Coach Radio Network. Thank you, Hisham, so much,
and we're
looking forward to our next episodes together.
Yes, me too.
Okay, great. So this is Amina telling you goodbye, stay connected, and be influential. Goodbye.